Chapter 13.
Will he live?
Erlan glanced back to the one who had spoken, the dark apostle, Jerilek. He stood with arms crossed over his chest. There were a handful of other officers and legionaries clustered around the slab. All of them bore evidence of battle, and most sported wounds of varying severity.
I'm surprised he's even alive now,
Erlan said, making a vain attempt to wipe the blood from his helmet's visor lenses.
I was surprised that he was alive when he got here.
But can you save him?
Erlan looked down at his patient, writhing on the slab before him.
No,
he said.
Then his fate is in the gods' hands, said Jerilek.
Erlan turned back towards the now comatose, twitching mass of chem-melted flesh on the slab before him. It was hard to believe that this was his captain.
Get out,
he said over his shoulder.
Let me work. I will do what I can.
He was in the hole with Volkar Reth. The predicant's chest was closed, the shattered warp flask sealed within him. They had dropped him into the oubliette that Jerilek had prepared, and he'd hit the bottom of the shaft hard, his useless, paralyzed legs folding beneath him. The tight confines had pressed in around him, keeping him partially upright, but he was a sorry sight, crumpled into an awkward fetal position at the bottom of the hole. Jerilek had stitched his eyes open before they'd thrown him in. It was a spiteful act, and one that saw Talgron regretted not halting. They had then wedged flagstones and rock down into the oubliette on top of him, the first pieces lowered carefully, the remainder hurled in haste. Many of the pieces were large, the gaps between them substantial. He wouldn't run out of air for a while, at least. Finally, they had dragged the heavy stone altar back over the hole and locked the tomb, sealing it with chains and heaped rubble. Reth had been awake when they had dropped him in, and he lived still. The things that had replaced his heart kept him awake and compos mentis, his sus-an membrane suppressed. How many years could a mind remain crumpled in darkness, conscious but unable to move before he went mad? Saw Talgron would find out now. He was in the hole with Volkar Reth. They were pressed together. The darkness was complete, but he was able to see. He didn't question why. Reth's breathing was coming in short, sharp gasps, and it became more rapid as he sensed that Saw Talgron was so close by. His skin was an unhealthy shade of grey, and thick, purple-black veins throbbed within the meat of his body. Things were moving within his flesh, things that writhed and pulsed. He was an incubator, a host, and what was contained within wanted to come out. Saw Talgron could hear its whispering, maddening voices in his mind. It wanted to emerge through Reth's corporeal form, to enter this realm of existence using his flesh as a gateway. It was not yet time, though. Not yet. What dwelt within Volkar Reth's flesh was but a tiny portion of its whole. The rest resided in the roiling depths of the warp, waiting, impatient, and full of hatred.
I'm sorry, said Saw Talgron. This was not the way I'd hoped it would be. But it is necessary. When the time comes, the palace must be breached. Anything to further that goal must be done.
He could see Reth's wide, blood-infused eyes staring back at him, eyelids crudely stitched open. Tears of blood and hissing ichor ran down his cheeks. There was horror writ in his gaze. He knew that something was being birthed within his flesh. He knew that his flesh was no longer his own.
I'm dead, said Saw Talgron. That's why I am here. This is my punishment.
He reached out a hand, noting in passing that the flesh of his arm was blistered and smoking, and pressed his fingers to the roughly sutured wound on Predicant Reth's sternum. The skin had not healed, and he pushed his hand within. Things squirmed in the darkness. He felt them probing at his hand and arm. Then they began to burrow into his flesh. It was not an uncomfortable sensation. The worm-like tendrils squirmed up from his forearm, up into his bicep. They made his hideously burned flesh ripple and flex. They wriggled and burrowed further in, up through his shoulder and then deeper into his body, digging around in his organs. One pressed itself up through his neck, making his throat bulge, then up through the base of his skull and burrowed into his brain. He felt the pressure of it against his mind. He smiled, and a chuckle escaped his lips at the strange sensation. He saw fear and loathing in Reth's unblinking eyes. Then the tendrils began to retract, and Sor Talgron's smile was replaced with sudden panic. The demonic protuberances had rooted themselves in his flesh, hooking into him, and they would not release their hold. He fought against them, but he could not escape their grip. They had bonded with him, and were as much a part of him as his bones and muscles now. They retracted back within their host. It was not time to emerge, not yet, and Sor Talgron was dragged with them. He roared and screamed and shouted, fighting them the whole way, but was pulled inexorably in. His hand was still within Volkar Reth's body. It was impossible now to pull it free. In the space of a breath, he was pulled in up to his shoulder. He could do nothing to forestall it. Logically, it made no sense. But then, the Predicant's mortal shell being host to a demon, the majority of which dwelt beyond the veil, was not logical either. He felt the knives and bone saws cutting into his tortured flesh. True, but it was a distant thing, as though it might be happening to someone else. He saw what was left of his arms and legs hacked from his torso, his limbs having suffered too much trauma and damage from the Phosphex flames. There was nothing left to salvage. His hearts were melted, useless things, and they were replaced with synthetic modules that whirred and clicked. His lungs were gone. A humming machine was doing his breathing for him. "Brain activity is spiking," he heard a voice say. It was muffled, like he was underwater. "We're losing him again." Sor Talgron strained against the force, pulling him into the body of Volkar Reth, but it was too strong. His world disappeared as his whole body was pulled within that infested torso. He was hauled down and down and down into the deeper darkness that lurked below. He was dragged down still further, and the darkness gave way to a liquid milky red. He was gone from the material plane and out into the roiling nightmare of the warp, and he felt monstrous eyes turn towards him, felt the pressing intellect of unattainable sentience there, felt the presence of the gods and demons that he had always denied. Beings that had been old long before man had come down from the trees and turned into the petty creatures that they had become. He was being strangled in the bosom of hell, engulfed by the tentacles of beings the mortal mind was unable to fathom. He felt the crushing weight of their attention upon him, and he screamed, his lungs filling with liquid fire. He struggled to free himself, to swim clear of this sickening, maddening morass of hatred and fury and rage, but he could not. This was his prison and his damnation, and what was worse, was that it was one he felt he deserved. Darkness closed around him. It was all but complete when a golden radiance appeared before him. He looked up into the face of a demigod hovering before him, and he felt the strangling tentacles fall away. "My son." It extended a hand out towards him, light spilling from every pore. He reached up and took the mighty being's golden hand. The demigod's fingers closed around his own, and golden light infused everything.
"That's it," said a voice. "It's over. He's gone."
The bloody, limbless thing on the table that had once been Saw Talgron was dead. It was actually the eighth time that he had died on the slab, but this time they had been unable to revive him. Apothecary Erlen stepped away, unplugging the machines that had been straining to keep the captain alive. Their beeps and whirs became a single, uninterrupted whine. He was covered in blood. It dripped off his arms and chest in thick rivulets. "It was always unlikely that he'd survive," he said to the assembled legionaries, who'd returned to check on their comrades. He glanced nearby, where another legionary lay unconscious, his flesh pierced by dozens of cables and tubes.
"That one is doing better, though. The one who brought him in. Who is he?"
"Cataphracti Sergeant Cole Barda," said Dal Ak in a hollow voice.
He was staring dead-eyed at the fleshy ruin that had been Saw Talgron.
"I thought I'd saved him."
The Master of Signal turned and walked away, head down. One by one, the other legionaries drifted away, until Jarolek was alone. The Dark Apostle stepped in close, staring down at Saw Talgron's melted face. He saw something twitch. He blinked, thinking he'd imagined it. But then he saw it again. An exposed ligament twitched in the right side of Saw Talgron's face. Looking closer, he thought he saw something moving within the captain's ravaged flesh. Just for a fraction of a second. He felt the touch of the warp then. It was seeping off the corpse of Saw Talgron like an odour, and his eyes widened in wonder. Saw Talgron twisted on the slab, and his jaw opened, working silently. A beatific smile broke across his lipless mouth.
"Apothecary!"
Jarolek shouted.
"He's alive!"
Saw Talgron turned his mutilated face towards Jarolek, his emptied, bloodied eye sockets locking unerringly onto him.
"There you are, is it?"
Saw Talgron croaked. Jarolek dropped to his knees.
"What of him, brother?"
He lifted me from the darkness."
"Apothecary!"
Jarolek shouted over his shoulder again.
"I saw them, Jarolek,"
Saw Talgron whispered.
"Saw who, my lord?"
"The gods,"
he breathed.